Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. It's a blessing we serve the living God whose return is very, very soon. You know, I'm reminded when he told me about a month ago. He said, my return is soon. Tell my people my return is soon. He didn't say soon, he said imminent. He said, tell my people my return is imminent. And to be ready, that they be not left. Those were his exact words. Now, I've heard a lot of teaching about the rapture, how that every Christian is going to go. But the word of God isn't written that way. If you're not lukewarm, you'll go. And those, you know, the gospel's talked about being ready. But the way I was taught was, you know, that didn't have anything to do with the rapture. But that's, people preach things like that, but the Lord made us holy so we could live a holy life, a pure life, a life that's love-based and not pride-based. But now his return is imminent. And there are several things happening at once. The Lord is in his plan, he wants to reap the harvest. He wants all the harvest he can reap. He want to reap it. He want his people to be with him. He don't want them to be judged with this world. See, if you live in the days of tribulation, that's when God is judging the world system. And it's going to be terrible on earth. And it's not going to be a fit place to live. It's not going to be like we know it now. And all of our, everybody, those we love and those we may not know, they're going to have a time if they're left here. The timing of the Lord. Whenever the Lord gives me something to do, he does it with in a time frame. And a lot of people talk about waiting on the Lord as if they're in a hurry for things to get finished. And the best way to rush is not to linger in life. Once you know what to do, do it. Now, Pastor taught about waiting on the, we sing a song in the praise team called Waiting on You, Waiting on the Lord. And this type of waiting is like a man waiting a table. He's serving. We're serving the Lord, not just standing around idle, waiting on God to do something. But we're making progress doing what he's given us to do. When we do that, everything's in motion. See, faith is always on. Our faith is supposed to be on. Whatever we're believing God for, we have now faith. We have faith and we don't change. We don't stop having faith. Faith is a current. It's like it's just like electricity. It's current. You know, when you turn your light switch on, the lights stay on. They don't stay on and then go off and then come back on and then go back on. You'll never get anything done the way you want to if the lights keep going out. Well, your faith is on, and while your faith is on, heaven is activated, because what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is also loosed in heaven. Our faith, it restricts things that we won't restrict it, and it looses things that we won't loose. The windows of heaven open up when we live in active faith. When we're steadily believing God, doing the things he's given us to do, over the course of time, things are in motion. And things that God builds take time. In our life, pertaining to man, he works at our pace. Alright. When our lease is up, you're gonna get to see God work at his pace. But he works at our pace. For us, it's his grace, it's a blessing. Understand, everything God do, there's a lot of wisdom behind it. Books could be written about the wisdom behind the way he deals with us, the way that he operates. He's working at our pace. Now, the Lord is looking for sincerity. If we live by faith, we continue to obey God in all things. And we do it in faith with expectation. And when the Lord tells us to do a plan, we do it because we trust him. And then we see the verb side of that trust is faith. Whatever we trust him to do, we act on our faith. We act on our faith because we trust God. Otherwise, if he told us to do something and we didn't trust him, we wouldn't even turn our faith on. See, faith is the verb side of trust. And trust is the noun side of faith. Faith faith is looking to God currently, always, continually. And trust is looking to the future from a past position. Now, so as we go forward, I talk about seeing God. I talk about looking to him a lot. Now, looking unto him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking at him with eyes of faith. Faith is the highest form of sincerity. Faith is a definer. And faith looks to God currently and continually. But we see the heart of his will. We can't see him physically. We see his intentions. We see what he's spoken. We see him according to scripture. And we act. And we obey in that kind of love. All of it is love based. Now, some people want the power of God to operate in their lives so that they can be seen. That's not even good, because Paul said, do nothing for vainglory. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Do it because you love him. And if you love him, all of your works and operations is because you love the people that's made in his image. And not just the ones you like, but all men, everywhere. I want my life to represent God this way. I want people to feel the love of God from me. Now, every time the Lord gave me a dream of angels or people in heaven, people of even other planets, I always felt the love from them. I knew for a fact that they loved me. You know, I talked about how the Lord showed us that we had in heaven, we're going to get a horse. And I saw my horse. And the dream didn't last but a moment. Just a moment. But I don't even want a horse, but I got a horse. And I love that horse. But I felt the love of God coming from the horse to me. My horse loved me. He couldn't wait to ride me around. Now, when I see people of every race, of every walk, people from other countries, I want them to feel the love of God for me. That's just the way it is. When I wrote that book, The Cost of Freedom, I had a conversation with the Lord. And I asked him a question about race. This preacher had told me that Job was black. And that didn't sound right. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, was Job black? He said, no. He said, Job was a Jew living in East Palestine. And then he continued talking. He said, in those days, all men were people of color, because it took time for the races to form out. And he said no race is superior, no race is inferior. And he gave men their differences to come together and build society. He gave every race, he said he gave every every race, different attributes, to come together and build society. And then he said this, and it honors me from people of different origins to come together and marry, because it openly goes against the world system of hatred. And you know, I didn't expect him to say all that, but I thank him that he did. See, in our society, everything in the world system is backwards. Satan's trying to divide mankind. And if we're divided, he got a lot of wiggle room. He can get a lot of mischief done if we divide from each other, if we don't love each other. There are some Christians, they only want their people to be saved. And they cater to their people. And people of other countries, they don't want anything to do with them. And that's not God's love. That's not his way. This country is strong because we have different races of people that think different. Now, he said that the different races, they have different attributes. So I was at a Chinese restaurant years ago after this. And I like Oriental art. It looks so peaceful. And I was looking at it. I said, Lord, what did you give Oriental people? He said, and this is how he answered. He said, they're the most innovative people in the world. I said, whoa. Because that didn't come. I didn't know this. I mean, I could see it when he said it. I could understand it. I said, you're right. They make the best of everything. They take an idea and they make it better. They make the best cars. And even in World War II, those Zeros were hard to shoot down. I said, yeah, they are innovative. And then I my mind was turning. You know, I said, Lord, what did you give black people? He said, they are the most creative people in the world. I said, whoa. I said, yeah, I can see that. They are creative. I said, well, what did you give white people? He said, they're the most organized. I said, man, that's right. Glory to God. I said, well, what did you give brown men? He said, they're the most loving people in the world. And what about red men? He said, they're the most trusting people in the world. Now, that's five types of men. Now, I got that information from Mom Powell. Now, Mom Powell, she lived in the Woodlawn area. And she would have been a younger lady back then. But in the 70s, they integrated high school, you know. And then there were riots, of course, racial riots, problems like that. My sister went there when they integrated at Woodlawn. And it was a hostile time. But the country was, you know, this country has been through so much. Even though we integrated, people did good. They ended up, they had their riots, but then a lot of friendships were formed. There's still a lot of mistrust sometimes, but now things are a lot better than they were. But she asked the Lord, why are there so many riots? And he said, and the Lord answered her this way. He said, how many types of men are there? And she said, well, there's brown soil, white sand, yellow clay, red clay, and black soil. And then he said, well, how many types of men are there? Well, they're black and white and red and yellow and brown. And then he said, until I return, he said that would be, you know, division among the races. Because that's something that Satan said. But among his people that learn him and learn his way, they will lead in better example. And there are many Christian people who have no racism in their hearts. And then there are some who struggle with it, because when we come to the Lord, we come to Him as we are. We have to unlearn worldly traits. We have to unlearn and drive out the Philistines of the worldly way. Just like Israel was supposed to drive out the Canaanites, the Philistines, the Amalekites, the Midianites, they were supposed to drive them out. So, as we study God's word, demons fall off our life. We're persuaded by God. We look at things His way. We adopt His point of view, and we turn our back on the worldly way. One of the Psalms said, "I hate the worldly way." You can hate it at your own will. You can choose to love God's people and hate the things that's not right. So as the Lord told me, now I never had a problem with other races. If I met the right person of another race, I would have married. But I love my own wife, and she happens to be black. But people are wonderful people. And people are people. And people are not perfect, but we're made in God's image, and that's what we need to build from. But it honors God when we receive His people, just like He received us. We sinned, He forgave us, so we forgive others. And I see what Satan's afraid of. He's afraid of our unity. Now, our American creativity comes from the different origins of people. A lot of immigrants came to New York, and they brought their family ideas with them. All of us basically are immigrants, except for the Indians, the Native Americans. Most black people were brought here as slaves. And then, but we're here, and we help contribute to this one country. And a lot of things were invented because there are so many different ideas. A black man invented the traffic light, and many other things. And everybody benefits from it. White people invent things. A German man invented the diesel engine. I forgot who invented the gasoline engine, but I thank God for them. Now, whoever invented that automatic transmission was a pure genius from God. And I hope he went to heaven. But that kind of knowledge, man, that's the most awesome part of a car to me. And even the manual transmission, it holds its own. But that darn automatic transmission is off the chart. And now they got computers that control them. The wisdom of God came, you know, when the gospel spread, then people started inventing things. This country is strong because we're free. Everybody comes here because they're free. They don't have to answer to a king. In other nations, if you are wise and intelligent, the king would, now in the old days, the king would get you and bring you, and you'll serve him. You didn't get to start your own business and make millions of dollars. You served the king, and he got rich off you. So a lot of things didn't go forward. And if the elite didn't think it was necessary, it didn't get done. There are many inventions that would have been done that are not done because people didn't have a vision for it. Now, in the 1800s, a man made an electric solar powered motor. And this happened. This really happened. The motor was running off the sun with solar panels. And he turned a motor that ran a freezer that made ice cream. And in the middle of the summer, he was serving people ice cream from a solar-powered electric motor. And it was supposed to sweep the nation. and everybody was supposed to have free energy. But people wanted to sell coal, and they didn't do it. They were used to a certain thing. They were used to using oil in their houses to run their lamps, and they were used to coal for heat, and they didn't go forward with it. And this was back in the 1800s. Now, how much further along would we be now if they used something like that? And you can still burn the coal if you want to. Coal has a use. But God gave man inventions. And competition is another factor. When you bring something to the table, people will see how they can make it and manufacture it and profit from it. And then they're going to try to outdo each other. Now, that's when it really begins to thrive. American commerce, a lot of things were brought about because of competition. One car company wanted to make a better brake system. And then they came up with hydraulic brakes instead of cable brakes. And they work better. And they're easier to use. And then they came up with vacuum assist power brakes. You know, one thing after another. I remember when some cars didn't have power brakes. You had to be pretty tough to stop those cars. But now everybody can easily stop their car. Then they came up with air conditioners for cars. And I mean, just genius. People are using their mind, their wit that God gave them. We're made in God's image. There is nothing we can't do. But when people are motivated, that's when they do their best. Now back to the timing of God. Whatever God put in your heart to do, that's what you keep it alive through current faith. You have faith in it and you're continually acting on it. You're building towards it. And that requires trust. And if you can trust God and you know that the outcome is going to be great. And so you continually believe God for that vision. See, in vision form, you can see where you're going. Vision is developed faith. But vision doesn't replace faith. It looked like it's greater, but faith is greater. Vision is just developed faith. You know where you're going. You can see the whole, you can see the timeline. You can see the finishing line from the beginning. And you know you're gonna win. You know your business is going to be successful. You know you're going to finish college. You have a vision for it. When people don't have vision, they can't see themselves finishing. And it seems like it's going to take too long. Then they stop. They turn their faith off. So without vision, the people perish. But in these days, the Lord's got to come back. His return is imminent. And now is the time we really need to be trusting the Lord and taking him at his word and hearing him out and operating according to our faith in him. And I thank the Lord that his return is soon. And I'm glad that it's imminent, but I want to use all the time I got to minister life to his people. You know, I thank God for this assignment. I like it. The Lord gave me an anointing and I want to use it. And I said, you know, a lot of preachers only preach 52 Sundays and 52 Wednesdays. You know, that's 104 times they use their anointing. I said, what if people were so hungry they could use it every day? They could teach a class every day. And now, the Lord's got me doing these recordings. He said, I want you to do as many of these recordings as possible. And I try to do at least two a day. And sometimes I get more time and I can do three. But this is important. And the work of God is very important.
Now, I'm out of time again, but the Lord is not. He'll continually move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.